RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headline. President Joko Widodo leaves Iran and continues his visit to Aceh. Iran appreciates Indonesia's role to resolve the world's issues. Iran hopes direct flights from Jakarta to Tehran and vice versa. Now the news in details. President Joko Widodo left Iran Wednesday at 2200 hours local time after completing a state visit in the country and continues his working visit to Aceh. Before arriving in Jakarta, the presidential plane landed first at the international airport of Sultan Iskandar Banda Aceh Thursday. From Banda Aceh, President Joko Widodo and Mrs. Iriana continued working visit to Biren. In Biren, President Joko Widodo saw the process of handling the aftermath of the earthquake that occurred in Pidijaya Wednesday, December 7, 2016. As reported by Antara, three areas affected by the earthquake are Biren, Pidijaya, and Pidi Regencies. In the areas affected by the earthquake, the president visited the evacuation post, school, and masjids. Government and Parliament of Iran express appreciation for Indonesia's position and active role in resolving the world's issue. Indonesia's head of the Press, Media and Information of Presidential Secretariat Bey Mahmudin in a press release Thursday said the Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi revealed it after accompanying President Joko Widodo during a meeting with Iranian President Hassan Rouhani and Iranian Parliament Speaker Ali Larijani in Iran on Wednesday, December 14. Minister Retno Marsudi said Indonesia's active role in helping to solve various problems in the world, including in the Middle East, also received high appreciation from the Iranian President and Iranian Parliament Speaker. The minister added, "The actions of prioritizing dialogue and peace shown by the Indonesian government has made bilateral relations between Indonesia and Iran continues to run well until now." Iranian President Hassan Rouhani hopes direct flights from Jakarta to Tehran and vice versa to improve cooperation in tourism sector. Head of the Press, Media and Information Bureau of Presidential Secretariat Bey Mahmudin in a press release Thursday said Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi made the statement after accompanying President Joko Widodo in a meeting with Iranian President Hassan Rouhani and Iranian Parliament Speaker Ali Larijani in Iran Wednesday 14 December 2016. Minister of Foreign Affairs said it shows the active role of both countries in addressing the people-to-people contact. Indonesia will submit a report on the protections of human rights to the UN Council in 2017. Director of Human Rights and Humanitarian Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Diki Komar, said the report targeted to be handed in February 2017 is on the protection in three sectors. Some of the reports are among other committee reports to the elimination of all forms of racial discrimination. Diki Komara on the sidelines of a national consultation on human rights treaty and the Universal Periodic Review on Wednesday explained that the reporting related to the compliance of Indonesia's protection on human rights to the UN Human Rights Council because Indonesia is one of the 8 countries that ratifies international human rights instruments, while 2017 is the 3rd periodic reporting to the Protections of Human Rights International. The government of Japan provides emergency assistance to earthquake victim in PD Jaya Aceh province. The earthquake measuring 6.5 on the Richter scale has caused hundreds of people died. As quoted by Reuters Wednesday, the Japanese government aid channeled through Japan International Cooperation Agency JICA and will be delivered directly to the affected areas in Aceh. The aid was delivered directly to the National Agency for Disaster Mitigation. The assistance is in the form of 500 tents for the refugee camps. The handling of the assistance was attended by Vice President Yusuf Kalla, the Japanese Ambassador to Indonesia Yasuaki Tanizaki, and Director of JICA Indonesia Ando Naoki. Vice President Yusuf Kalla expressed his appreciation to the Japanese government for the assistance given to the earthquake victims in Aceh. However, Yusuf Kalla said the government was not expecting too much foreign aid as the scale of disaster is not too big. The Indonesian Council of Ulamas MUI has delivered an edict or fatwa prohibiting Muslims from wearing non-Muslim attributes. MUI's head of fatwa affairs Hasanuddin said in a fatwa publication received in Jakarta on Wednesday. He said that there has been a phenomenon of hotels, supermarkets, department stores, restaurants, and other businesses asking their Muslim employees to wear non-Muslim religious attributes to highlight religious events. He said company management should assure Muslim employees that they can attire themselves according to their religious convictions and not force them to wear non-Muslim religious attributes. He said orders or requests for Muslim to wear non-Muslim attributes are also against the Islamic law. He hoped that the government would protect Muslims to carry out their religious obligations faithfully. The last item. Sultan Iskandar Muda International Airport in Aceh has won the World's Best Airport for Halal Travelers title at the World Halal Tourism Award 2016. President Director of State-Run Airport Operator PT Angkasa Pura II Persero, Muhammad Awaluddin said in a statement in Jakarta on Wednesday, "This is the first time that an Indonesian airport has won the award. Last year, it was won by Abu Dhabi International Airport." He said it is hoped that the award will encourage the airport management to perform better in operating all airports under the management. Some 1.89 million voters from 116 countries participated in the voting to determine winners in 16 categories of the World Halal Tourism Awards. A panel of judges comprising 9 professionals from the global halal tourism industry confirmed that all nominees has fulfilled its criteria. Indonesia won 12 of the 16 categories in the World Halal Tourism Award 2016, including World Best Halal Culinary Destination, World's Best Halal Destination, and World's Best Honeymoon Destination Halal. Listener, that was the news from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. I'm Dinu Graha. Thank you for listening.
Listener, welcome to commentary. In the past few months, blasphemy case affecting Basuki Cahayapurnama known as Ahok has attracted the attention of public in Indonesia and even in the world. The case is widely known not only because he is a public official who is running for the regional head election in 2017, but also because of the background of the case, which has tribe, religion, race, intergroup, or SARA background. The emphasis is Ahok, who is from minority group, has been accused of degrading the majority religion in Indonesia. The recent development of this case is that Ahok is undergoing legal process in the court. Indonesia has always been haunted by racial sentiments. In fact, it has recorded a number of dark histories of the nation at the beginning of the reform era, when large-scale racial conflicts occurred in at least two regions. Hopefully, the conflict was finally able to be terminated and has not spread to other areas. However, the trauma of the conflict still continues to haunt. It is not surprising, in many instances, stakeholders continuously remind the whole nation to make the tragedies that have occurred as an important lesson and hope the same event does not let it happen again. Indonesian people should be aware that the nation is destined to be very diverse. The country consists of hundreds of tribes, culture and customs, religions and beliefs. Indeed, effort to raise awareness must be followed with a spirit of tolerance, mutual respect, and their tolerance. But still not 100% safe from small ripples nuances of tribal, religious, racial, and intergroup relations or SARA. Moreover, in such an open democracy, there may be a person who uses this issue to gain unilateral advantage. Truly, in a more or less the same, something like this happens not only in Indonesia, but also in the other hemisphere. So what to do? Truly, in a more or less similar form, such things not only occur in Indonesia, but also in other parts of the world. So what should be done? South African regime has terminated the apartheid system, which started since the beginning of the 20th century until 1990. The governments with any ideology now do not want to be called running a discriminatory policy to its people. The credo saying law is the commander, of course, on the basis of political views and ideology of their respective countries. In Indonesia, it is expected that the law enforcer should prevent divisions caused by conflict with tribal, religious, racial, and intergroup relations nuances. The settlement through legal channels is seen as the best path, although actually simple and cheap preemptive effort can also be done, like through the examples of the leaders to keep his tongues, because this could easily be a gap of conflict. The attitude and behavior of the leaders is believed to be an investment with significant impact in the long term and to preserve and unearth the noble values in Indonesia and the world. Listener, that was commentary.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, we meet again in our daily program, Today in History, over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Well, listener, we began our program with an event that happened on December 15, 1967, when the Silver Bridge collapsed. The Silver Bridge was an I-bar chain suspension bridge built in 1928 and named for the color of its aluminum paint. The bridge connected Point Pleasant, West Virginia, and Gallipoli, Ohio, over the Ohio River. On December 15, 1967, the Silver Bridge collapsed while it was full of rush hour traffic, resulting in the death of 46 people. Two of the victims were never found. The investigations of the wreckage pointed to the cause of the collapse being the failure of a single I-bar in a suspension chain due to a small defect, 0.1 inch or 2.5 millimeter deep. Analysis showed that the bridge was carrying a lot of heavier loads than it had originally been designed for and had been poorly maintained. The collapsed bridge was replaced by the Silver Memorial Bridge, which was completed in 1969. The next event was in 2008 when the ASEAN Charter was signed. The ASEAN Charter is a constituent instrument of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, ASEAN. December 15, 2008 became a historical moment for ASEAN member countries. At that day, it indicated not only the imposition of the charter, but also a symbol that all of 10 member states still retain the cohesiveness and commitment to establish a solid community in Southeast Asia and unshaken by the various crises. Special meeting of ASEAN foreign ministers in Jakarta on 15 December 2008 was proof of the seriousness of that commitment. Actually, the meeting was part of conference package of the summit which should be scheduled in Bangkok. The summit was cancelled to be held due to political crisis in Thailand. In fact, the summit this year should be monumental forum by imposing the ASEAN Charter after being ratified by all members since 15 November 2008. And the last event was in 2011 when the US formally withdrew all combat troops from Iraq. The Iraqi war was a protracted armed conflict that began with the 2003 invasions of Iraq by a United States-led coalition which toppled the government of Saddam Hussein. The conflict continued for much of the next decades as an insurgency emerged to oppose the occupying forces and the post-invasion Iraqi government. An estimated 151,000 to 600,000 or more Iraqis were killed in the first 3 to 4 years of conflict. The United States officially withdrew from the country in 2011, but left private security contractors in its place to continue the war. It again became re-involved in 2014 at the head of a new coalition. The insurgency and many dimensions of the civil armed conflict continue. The invasion began on 20 March 2003 with the US joined by the United Kingdom and several coalition allies launching a shock and awe bombing campaign. Iraqi forces were quickly overwhelmed as US forces swept through the country. The invasion led to the collapse of the Ba'athist government. President Saddam Hussein was captured during Operation Red Dawn in December of that same year and executed by a military court 3 years later. However, the power vacuum following Saddam's demise and the mismanagement of the occupation led to widespread sectarian violence between Shias and Sunnis, as well as a lengthy insurgency against US and coalition forces. The United States responded with a troop surge in 2007. The US began withdrawing its troops in the winter of 2007 to 2008. The winding down of US involvement in Iraq accelerated under President Barack Obama. The US formally withdrew all combat troops from Iraq by December 2011. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with today's focus entitled Vice President Yusuf Kalla Opens the Halaqah, or Meeting of the ASEAN Countries Ulama or Muslim Scholars in Bogor, West Java. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla invites Muslim scholars at the Islamic boarding schools to promote Indonesian moderate Islam to the international world. It was announced by the Vice President when opening Halaqah or Ulama meeting of ASEAN Muslim scholars in 2016 with the theme Enhancing Moderate Islam through a pesantren or Islamic boarding school network in Bogor on Tuesday, December 13. The opening of the scholars' meeting theme promoting moderate Islam through Islamic school network was marked by the beating of gongs by Yusuf Kalla accompanied by Minister of Religious Affairs Lukman Hakim Saifuddin. Yusuf Kalla said in his speech, the theme is not just to be discussed in a seminar, but also to be carried out together for the unity of ASEAN. The vice president also thanked the ulama and the caregivers of the boarding schools that have devoted their minds and souls for the sake of the civilized and moral nation. Vice president questioned if in the past the students in the Indonesian archipelago learned Islam to the Middle East, is it still relevant today in the midst of conflicts in the Arab countries? While at the same time, the Vice President continued the development of Islam in Indonesia and the ASEAN region, formerly known as Jawi Nusantara, was outstanding. Both the science and practice of Islam in the forum of culture, cultural products and social system, political and economic. Islam, which was born and developed in Indonesia, has specific and moderate pattern and it's accommodative to the local culture while still promoting the universal values of Islam. The Vice President said that Indonesia deserves to be the center of thought and practice. The examples of Islam wasatia. Kala said, it is these values that should be promoted continuously to the international world. Meanwhile, Minister of Religious Affairs Lukman Hakim Saifuddin invited the participants of the ASEAN Muslim Scholars Meeting to develop the moderate Islam. He said this era requires all parties to play their roles, especially in spreading the values of moderate Islam embraced by the ASEAN community. The Ministry of Religious Affairs, said Lukman Hakim, through the Agency for Research and Training has undertaken various activities to mainstream the model of moderate Islam in ASEAN region. In 2016, there was also Ulema Nusantara Manuscript Workshop in East Asia involving Malaysia, Brunei, Southern Thailand, the Philippines and Singapore. According to Lukman Hakim, if the ASEAN Manuscript Workshop was a forum to explore the Islamic intellectual heritage, the Halaga ASEAN Scholar is aimed to the institutional side of education. The Halaga or ASEAN Muslim Cleric meeting lasted for 3 days and attended by 150 participants. They were caregivers of the Islamic boarding schools in ASEAN, ambassadors of Religious Council of Brunei Darussalam, Indonesia, Malaysia, Singapore, or MABIMS, scholars, academicians, bureaucrats, parliamentarians, representatives of foreign students and the community leaders associated with religion and religious education, and a number of ambassadors and heads of invited representatives of friendly countries. Listener, that was Focus for today. Thank you for listening. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with News in Brief. I'm Dinu Graha. President Joko Widodo left Iran Wednesday at 2200 hours local time after completing a state visit in the country and continues his working visit to Aceh. Government and Parliament of Iran express appreciation for Indonesia's position and active role in resolving the world issues. Iranian President Hassan Rouhani hopes direct flights from Jakarta to Tehran and vice versa to improve cooperation in tourism sector. Indonesia will submit a report on the protections of human rights to the UN Council in 2017. Director of Human Rights and Humanitarian Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Diki Komar, said the report targeted to be handed in February 2017 is on the protection in three sectors. The government of Japan provides emergency assistance to earthquake victims in Pidijaya, Aceh province. The earthquake, measuring 6.5 on the Richter scale, has caused hundreds of people died. The Indonesian Council of Ulama's MUI has delivered an edict or fatwa prohibiting Muslims from wearing non-Muslim attributes. MUI's head of fatwa Affairs Hasanuddin said in a fatwa publication received in Jakarta on Wednesday. The last item, Sultan Iskandar Muda International Airport in Aceh has won the World's Best Airport for Halal Travelers title at the World Halal Tourism Award 2016. President Director of State-Run Airport Operator PT Angkasa Pura II Persero, Muhammad Awaluddin, said in a statement in Jakarta on Wednesday. Listener, that was News in Brief over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. I'm Dinu Graha. Thank you for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id. You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It is nice to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you traveling to West Java. Stay tuned. Listener, Pelabuhan Ratu is the capital of Sukabumi Regency. It is located on the coast of the Indian Ocean. Pelabuhan Ratu became one of the favorite tourism destinations in West Java. The city has a number of attractions that are divided into three categories, namely natural tourism, sport tourism, and religious tourism. However, most travelers come to enjoy the Pelabuhan Ratu natural attractions, especially the beautiful beaches. This time, we invite you to see the beauty of Chitepus Beach. The location is in the Chitepus Village, Pelabuhan Ratu Sub-District. Listener, to get to the Chitepus Beach, so far from the city center, it can be reached approximately 3 kilometers. The journey from Jakarta takes about 7 to 8 hours using land transportation. Chitepus Beach location is quite strategic because it lies on the edge of the highway. To get into this tourism area, you just pay 30,000 rupiah for a ticket of car parking. Arriving on its shores, you will be amazed with the natural beauty of Chitepus. Chitepus Beach is about 3 to 5 kilometers long. A bed of sand is quite spacious, with a sloping shape of surface. The water is clear, with big enough waves. In addition to a dazzling panorama, Chitepus Beach has a pretty good level of cleanliness. There are no garbages scattered on the beach, or sinking away by the waves. Listener, there are many interesting activities on the beach. You can swim or playing on the water as much. You can also relax on the soft sand. For those who like fishing, in other part of the beach, there is a special spot for fishing. In the evening, you can see the beauty of the sunset. Moreover, because of beautiful panorama of the sunset, the beach has become one of the destinations of couples who want to do honeymoon. Listener, Chitepus Beach is equipped with various facilities. There are lodging, public toilets, restaurants, and souvenir peddlers. Lodging in Chitepus is located around the beach. With only 200,000 rupiah per night, you can stay comfortably. For dining, there are available lesser hand concepts or restaurant concepts with a seafood menu offerings. Interestingly, the restaurants have a direct view to the beach. The Chitepus Beach also has been equipped by mausola, garden, and jogging track. With a jogging track, you can also run around the Chitepus Beach while enjoying its beauty. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Citepus Beach. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, welcome back to our regular segment, Miscellany. In today's edition, we will inform you about Garuda becomes the most lovable airways in the world. Listener, recently Skytrax consultant, which is routinely analyzed the rank of airways and announced 80 air flights that are most lovable in the world. Garuda Indonesia has become the champion among 420 airways in the world. 11 out of 15 top positions are dominated by Asian Airways. Garuda Indonesia gets the first rank of 85% pleasure. Asiana Airlines from South Korea is in the second position with 83% of pleasure level. Meanwhile, EVA Air from Taiwan gained 81% and Aegean Airlines of Greece came to the fourth position with 80.7%. The airline ranking is indeed based on several assessments, which is based on passenger review that take the airline. The rating consisted of 8 categories, namely seat comfortable, flight service, beverage, airplane entertainment, flight comfort, Wi-Fi, as well ticket price. The passengers then give rating by numbers from 1 to 10 in accordance with their satisfaction. To review it, Skytrax received 4.5 million data from a survey of 4.5 million consumers in the world. Listener, according to the Skytrax CEO, Edward Plaisted, there are 8 categories that makes Garuda Indonesia stands out as the most beloved airline in the world, such as seat comfort, flight service, food and beverage, entertainment, Wi-Fi availability, ticket price, and finally passenger testimony. While the Garuda Indonesia President Director M. Arif Wibowo said that Garuda Indonesia employees are the key of success to receive the title. Listener, that was today's edition of Miscellany that informs you about Garuda Indonesia as the most beloved airlines in the world. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening and I'll see you on the next Miscellany.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, I will introduce you to an Indonesian pop singer, Mayang Sari. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Tiada Lagi by Mayang Sari. Happy listening. Mm-hmm.
Sia-sia sudah kita jalin cinta, bila hati selalu berbeda. Sampai kapan lagi ku harus menahan rasa kecewa di dalam dada? Seandainya kita masih bersatu, tak mungkin kan menyatu, walau masih ada sisa cinta. Biarkan saja berakhir sampai di sini. Tiada lagi yang ku harapkan, tiada lagi yang ku impikan. Biar aku sendiri tanpa kecewa di dalam dada. Seandainya kita masih bersatu, tak mungkin kan menyatu, walau masih ada sisa cinta. Biarkan saja berakhir sampai di sini.
Listener, the song entitled Tiada Lagi has successfully catapulted the popularity of Mayang Sari. This song was the second production of the first album produced around 90s. Since this second production, Mayang Sari's reputation began to be taken into account in the Indonesian music industry. The beautiful singer who was born in Purwokerto on August 23, 1974, in addition to singing, she is also good at sinden or Javanese rendition of the song. Her talent was obtained from her father, who works as a puppeteer, and mother as a famous sinden. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Selamat Malam Cinta by Mayang Sari. Happy listening.
Bye.
Listener, after she got married, Mayang's activities in singing began to fade. The singer has busy to take care of her family business, while singing activities only carried out for some important and special events. Well, listener, to conclude our program for today of Music Corner, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Harus Malam Ini and Rasa Cintaku by Mayang Sari. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Rasakan sendiri begitu cepat malam berlalu. Tak mungkin ku tahan lajunya jalan sang
Tadi
Republic of Indonesia's World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Presenting actual news, all Indonesian songs, current issues, and entertainment. Broadcasting daily from the fourth floor of RRS building on Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat number 4 and 5, Jakarta.
Listen live to www.voi.co.id.
Cintamu.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.